Well, are you guys ready to be stretched tonight? Are you ready for some stretching?
Let's
stretch. All right, so we're gonna talk about some principles, and really the primary principle that we're gonna talk about is light, but also how it relates to darkness. And the Bible is a book that is a historical book, but it's also got a lot of allegorical or symbology. You know, when Jesus said, "I'm the bread of life," he wasn't saying, "I'm a loaf of bread." He was using bread as an allegory or a symbol. And so certain things can mean more than one thing. So God can use say the word day, and he can mean a 24-hour day. He can mean an epoch. He said that, Abraham was glad to see my day. He wasn't talking about the day he was born. He was talking about the time that Jesus came into the world. And so different words have different meanings depending on the context. And so we're going to talk about that to some extent tonight and try to look at why things are the way they are and where do I go to improve the situations that we encounter. And so a lot of it has to do with creation, and a lot of it has to do with how we respond as part of creation and as beings that are above and beyond creation. The Bible is written from the perspective of a historical book, but it's also has poetry in it. It has prophetic books in it. It's got a lot of things in the Bible that are other than just the history of the Jews or the history of the early church, right? And so it has basically everything that we need to have the kind of life that we need to live in this world. Everything we need to know is in the Bible. But God wrote the Bible in using a lot of symbology. And Jesus, you just think about some of the things Jesus said. He said, "I am the bread of life," right? I mean, he wasn't talking that he's a loaf of bread. He was saying there's something about Jesus that's like bread to us. You know, and it was all over the Old Testament. They set up the tabernacle. When Moses took the children of Israel out of Egypt, he set up the tabernacle. Tabernacle had three parts. And in the New Covenant, we're the tabernacle. And we have three parts: spirit, soul, and body. And you really can't understand that the way that we are without understanding the three parts. Because people, in one place, the Bible says that we're perfect in God's sight. Well, how can a person who's messing up all the time be perfect just because they have Jesus? Well, we're three parts. And we have a spirit, and if our spirit's in Jesus, it's perfect. God looks at our spirit because he's a spirit. He sees a perfect spirit. Then he sees our soul and our body, but he declares that we're perfect because our spirit is perfect, and that's the real us. But he says, "Be holy because I'm whole." So we work on becoming better people by transforming our soul and body to be what the spirit already has if we have Jesus. And so it's important. A lot of these symbols show deeper realities. So today we're going to talk about light and darkness. And those are two principles that go through the entire Bible, light and darkness. And it really helps us understand why the Bible is written the way that it is. And the light and the darkness start at the very beginning of the Bible. So, Adam, would you mind reading Genesis 1 and 1 John 1? Here.
In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. So the evening and the morning were the first day. Then 1 John 1:5 is, "This is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all."
Okay, so here's the first question. God spoke light into existence. God said, "Let there be light," right? but God is light. What does that mean? Because there's other verses in the Bible that say God is light. But here's God, who is light, saying, let there be light.
There's two different kinds of light. Just like there's two different kinds of bread, right? But they refer to the same thing.
There's more than one. I don't know if you can say
two different. Yeah, there's more than one.
There's more than one kind of light. And God is light. And when he said, let there be light, he was putting light into the place where the Holy Spirit, right? The Spirit was hovering over the waters. He waiting to create, right? So the Spirit's hovering over the waters, waiting to create. And God says, let there be light. So he sends the creative power into this world to create the planets and the suns and the stars. So he said, let there be light before there was a sun or a star, right, to make light from. So he made light before there was a source of the light, right? And so, I mean, that's an interesting...
Even more so, just realizing it says that he saw that the light was good, and then he divided it from the darkness.
Yeah.
So what would... My thought process on what is light as opposed to darkness is the juxtaposition. It can't be both, but it wasn't divided originally.
It wasn't divided.
I don't know what that means.
Well, I don't either, actually. You know, that's a deep thought. But if you in seventh grade chemistry, you learn about elements and you learn about atoms and electrons, and we find out that everything is electricity. You know, if somebody went to Thomas Edison after he invented the light bulb and said, what's electricity, Mr. Edison? And he said, electricity is. That was his answer. Because God said, let there be light. And the light that God is, he let that come out of himself and become a different form of light, which became the creative substance in the universe. And it's still the creative substance in the universe today. It's what everything's made out of. And he created, there was only God at the beginning. You know, I mean, our sense of eternity, our sense of space and distance and time all came in with let there be light. when the Big Bang, which is let there be, you know, or in the beginning, you know, God created. That's the Big Bang. There really was a Big Bang. It was God said, and he created the universe through what he said. And so there was a Big Bang. That theory is actually true. But it was, the bang was the cause of God. So there was only God, right? So the darkness is the place that God created in. It was the place, see, the darkness and the light were not separated because God created the universe in a place that he put darkness where he no longer was. He pulled back himself, spoke light into this place, and creation came forth. And so the darkness was then separated from the light, and the darkness is the place where God is not. And the light is what is created. Does that all make sense? Yeah.
You can ask questions.
Yeah.
I don't know too much, you know, that's why I'm here, because I don't know anything. You said there was nothing in the beginning. It was just God.
There was, that's true.
Yeah, well, I'm going to what you just said. I just have a curiosity. Where God came from?
God always was.
Was he just there, that's it, appeared out of nowhere?
We can't. If you want to really freak out your mind,
yes, I do.
Okay,
I kind of do just, like that.
Just think about what it would be like to never have a beginning and never have an end, always be, and just contemplate that. It'll give you kind of a weird feeling after a while because it's contrary to us, because we have a beginning.
We do.
We do.
But him, I'm saying, if there was nothing there, what did he do? Nothing.
We don't know. But they, you know, when Moses asked God in the burning bush, what's your name? He said, I am. And that's just, he always am. So there,
I'm just asking questions.
No, it's actually, it's a very good question. And the Jews, the Jews who have very deep books on these subjects, they talk about God being the nothing that contains the all, and the all that contains the nothing. And it really, because it's a quandary, because from our perspective, we can't comprehend something always being, right? And, but how did this thing that we can't even comprehend as something, everything came from? And we are knocking on God's door in science. Okay. In Chicago, there is an accelerator. There's called at Fermilab in the Chicago area. It was the largest accelerator. They're building a bigger one in Europe. And in that accelerator, they make particles, you know, little pieces of atoms hit each other, mm-hmm. and they can replicate on a small scale the temperatures of the Big Bang. Mm. Post fractions of a section of creation. And they now mathematically, they found particles that they take pictures of that can't exist in our four dimensions. You know, we have three dimensions: height, breadth, width, and time. And so they're able to calculate these particles cannot exist in anything less than 10 dimensions. So there's, God's at least 11 dimensions. And so it's like we can comprehend less dimensions than we have. So if we thought about the world is now two dimensions. We don't have height anymore. Everyone's the same height. And we can comprehend what that would be like. You know, you're walking around a circle, and you can tell it's a circle because you're walking around it, right? But so you don't know if something's a circle or it's the bottom of a cone, right? It could be a cone. You can't see the top because you're walking around the circle, right? So there's a whole other level of existence that a three-dimensional person would be aware of that a two-dimensional person couldn't. So imagine adding a fifth dimension to our dimensions. It's inconceivable for us. Try adding five more.
But maybe he's 111.
He could be. He could be 111 dimensions. Yeah. So he's great.
The thing about the question, in almost any question that's like that, is that you're going to use the word before. What was he doing before? Well, he created time. Time didn't exist until he created it. So there was no before he created it. He created time because that's what we need to organize and live. But if you ever try to think about asking that question that is not time-related, then you can ask the right question. But if you say before, well, time did not exist, so there was no before. He made time to exist at that point. From that point, we measure and we can think about it. Time, and we're so immersed in it, we can't imagine what existence would be without time. So that's where he is. He's in that place that we just totally cannot comprehend because we're so mired in time, we can't break ourselves free of it to think about what he would even be like.
They can make television shows without time, without beginning and end, that can kind of give you a hint, you know, like Doctor Who. Watch that, and it can give you a feeling of, well, that's what it would be like if you didn't have that. I mean, I appreciate that imagination. It helps to stretch me a little bit.
So I like what you said about the two types of light. But you can break light into all kinds of pieces, ultraviolet, x-ray, right, sound waves. So, but concerning ourselves with that light, that light that is the electrons and protons and neutrons in an atom, that light, which is the light we see from the sun, that is created light. That is light that is in our creation today. Light, it runs through our bodies, it's created light. But when God said, let there be light, he was taking of himself and he was putting light into creation that is uncreated light. Because he said, let there be light. So he said, let there be light that creation, that created life will come from. So there's unmanifested light and there's manifested light. Another way to put it is there's uncreated light or creative light and created light. And the cells in our body, the molecules and atoms in our body are created light. Light coming out of this lamp is created light because it's electrons. So there is a light in the universe that is uncreated or creative or unmanifested. It still comes from God. Because Jesus said to the devil when he was tempting him, he said, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. So there's a light coming out of the mouth of God that keeps everything going. If he stopped speaking, we wouldn't exist. Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word which comes out of the mouth of God. I know this is deep, but it's we actually live. And Paul told the Greeks, when he was trying to explain Jesus, he said, you know, you guys are superstitious because you got an altar over there that says to the unknown God. But this unknown God, I'll tell you who he is. He's who you live and move and have your being in, because there's this light going through the universe that keeps the universe working. And science is coming up on it, because there's all these forces in the universe that we're just finding out in the last 5 years, just starting to find out about. That there's a force of entropy, which is where the universe is losing it's not expanding.
Orderliness.
It's losing its orderliness. And then there's the expanding of the universe. And these forces work against each other. Somebody is fine-tuning that. Because if it gets just a tenth of a degree out of that balance between expanding of everything and the contracting, life is not possible. And it's like a billion, trillion, trillion, trillionth degree of accuracy to fine-tune the universe with just that one measurement. But then there's all the other measurements, like the distance from the Earth to the Sun, and where the Moon is, and the size of the Moon, and its density, and where Jupiter and Saturn are, and all these things all actually make life possible on Earth. Somebody, the unmanifested light, which is intelligence, living, thought life, light, is making everything balanced and fine-tuning it constantly, because he loves us so much that he wants life to be possible here on Earth. I mean, it's pretty cool. I've got two or three books over that talk about, you know, the 60 things that without that, life's not possible, you know. It's now up to 100 since the book was published, you know. The magnetic force on the Earth, all these things. If the magnetic force of the North Pole is too strong, life's not possible. If it's too weak, life's not possible. And it's weakening. For its early in the creation of the Earth, it was too strong for civilization to be possible. In 20,000 years, it'll be too weak for human life to be possible because of the way it's going down. So it doesn't matter about global warming. The magnetic field of the Earth is going to be to the point where life, 20,000 years from now, life will not be possible on Earth. We're here for a short window. We're here to find out about God and to put to bed evil. Because God's going to wrap up the evil in this world, and then everything else is going to go on without it. Cool. I can't wait. I can't. He'll fold up one of those dimensions, which is this world of his 110 dimension, and that'll be it. It'll just be gone. You won't have to worry about it. So, God is light, which is true. The Bible says God is light. It's interesting, in what Adam read, 1 John chapter 1, verse 5. You read 1 John. In there it says... It says, this is the message that we share so that someone can have fellowship with God and with us. So there's a message in 1 John chapter 1. I didn't include it here, but that message is this message. Because he's saying there's some people that are part of the community of God and there's people who aren't. And in chapter one, he's talking to the two people, two groups of people. And he's saying there's a message that if you get this message, you can fellowship with God and with God's people. And this is the message that we have heard of him. We declare to you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. God is light. This is the message that we're to proclaim, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. What do you think that means?
Well, if God is love, then love can only beget goodness. And so all creation, everything God creates is good. And darkness is the opposite of that. Darkness is being without God, being separated from God.
So if God is love and he loves us, does he ever turn his back on us?
No.
So we don't see darkness, we just see light. The world turns its back on God. God doesn't turn his back on the world. The world turns its back on God. We turn our back on God because we might be hurt because he's not doing what we want. Things aren't going the way that I want them to. Or did you hear what she did? Or, you know, we turn our back on God, not the other way. He's always looking for us to turn around. Always. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. He never turns his back on us. And he's always good. He's always love. Right? He settled judgment on human beings at the cross. Jesus went to the cross to take the judgment of God so we don't have to be judged. So I can stand in God's presence as failed as I am because Jesus paid the penalty for me. I can stand in God's presence. Where did light come from, and what happened when God called the light day? That's pretty deep. Light came from God. Came from God. When he... This is really a deep class, Moses. I hope you're okay.
No, I like it.
Okay.
That's why I'm here, actually.
Because we've been building up to this for a year and a half.
That's why. Okay. I can pick up pretty quick, so...
See, when God called, he said, let there be light, right? Right here, he says, let there be light, but then he called the light day. He, like, called it something else, right? And he says, I'm making a distinction between creative light and created light. Day is created light because it exists as day. It's a principle. See, day here is not a 24-hour day, it's... Because there's no day yet. There's no sun. There's no earth going around the sun yet, right? The sun is like on the third or fourth day at creation, right? So it's a principle. Day is a principle that there's light in creation called day. We're children of the day. Live in the day means living in the light, the created life that's here. The night is the absence of God. But it's also the created stuff apart from God, night. Its structure without life is night. Does that make sense? You can, and the reason why we're talking about this is we have a lot of things in our life that need to be fixed. And that everything, like if I have a problem in my physical body, it's light, it's atoms, it's electrons, it's protons and neutrons that are messed up because of something has happened in the day. Something has happened in the creative light in my body or in my mind. So where do I go to get light to fix the light that's messed up? All matter, all... What?
The source.
The source.
The created light.
The created light. And so if there's the creative light, if there's a problem with my body and my mind are all made from light. My mind is the action of my soul upon my brain, right? My mind, right? If a person's has gone through an explosion, part of their brain is injured, it affects the way the light can create their personality, right? You know, don't people that have certain parts of their body damage or their brain, it affects their personality. It affects their, you know, But it's important to know that God is creative light, and there's a perfect imprint of me in the spirit, and that that creative light can fix the problems in created light, which is matter. My body is made up of atoms, electrons, neutrons, protons. God's creative light can reorganize those problems as I spend time in the light. Because God is the light, and God, you know, God's light can order, reorder the messed up parts of my life.
Is that how Jesus resurrected?
Yeah, it's exactly. Because he said, you know, if the spirit of him who raised Christ Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he that raised Jesus from the dead will quicken even your mortal body by his spirit that dwells in you. Spirit of life, spirit of light. There is a spirit that we've access to which is not created light. He's creative light because he's God, right? And so the resurrection life of God, the resurrection light of God, you know, is really powerful. It fixes things. So there's this darkness. So what is the darkness? Is there any darkness in God? No, of course not. And why? Because he's light.
Scientifically speaking, darkness isn't really a thing. It's the absence of light.
That's
like
true.
A vacuum. A vacuum is the absence of molecules. So in that sense, there can't be any darkness in God because God is light. And if the definition of darkness is the absence of light, it's the absence of God. So there can't be darkness in God.
There can't, right. And so the theme between light and darkness goes throughout the Bible. You have light and darkness, night and day, at the beginning of the Bible. And then you encounter it with Cain and Abel, light and darkness. You encounter it again with earlier with the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, which became darkness because it was the created side of things without the light of God. And you have the tree of life, which is the light. And then later on, you have the law and grace, light and darkness. And so it's just a theme throughout the whole Bible. Children of light, children of darkness. People without God are children of darkness. And so that pattern, when you start to understand the difference between light and darkness, you start to understand the Bible is a lot more simple than I thought. Because there's this battle, there's this tug of war between these two principles. And they're going on within me. Because within me, I'm descended from my parents, so I have the tree of the knowledge of good and evil in me, which is darkness. Because I inherited it from my parents. But I also have Jesus Christ in me, who is the light. And so I've got my spirit, which is light, full of light, and I've got my soul and body, which have been inherited from the darkness, but the light is making inroads into the darkness in my own heart, transforming my heart into the light. And so those principles. Now, when I face a problem with a person or at work or, you know, some problem, I have a choice to go to the light or the darkness. If I go to the darkness, maybe I'll try to manipulate them. Maybe I'll try to use my willpower to overcome it. Those are all of this world and of the darkness. Or I can turn to God for help because he's the light. So I can turn to God and ask for the strength to forgive them, which is the light, right? So those two principles that are work in this world. And when we understand these principles, we rise above them. Most of our lives, we've been stuck in these principles. We've been stuck in the darkness because we've been working most of our life with the principles of good and evil. And those are important in this world. I mean, we were taught in school, you know, do good, get good, do bad, get bad, right? We were taught at home the same lesson. But that's still of the darkness. If the light is above the darkness, there's two lights, right? There's the created. I know this is deep, but you know, relating to life, relating to people through good and evil, we live with that in this world. But we don't relate to God through good and evil. That's the problem. We have related most of our lives to God based on the good that we do or the evil that we do. And so then we live like there's darkness in God. Because when I do bad, I feel God's mad at me and I won't go to him. So I don't have his help in time of need. But it's when I have a revelation of the completeness, what Jesus did. Jesus brought the light between me and God. And so when I fail, I can go right to God. I don't have to be ashamed because Jesus took my shame. He cleansed my conscience, and so I run to the light rather than run from it. Sheila, you want to read John 1?
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world.
Okay. Have you noticed that Genesis chapter 1, John, the Gospel of John chapter 1, and 1 John chapter 1 all have things that relate to the creation and light and darkness. They really kind of both talk about that same event. So in the beginning was the Word. God spoke the universe into being with his Word. The Word was God. So is Word light?
Yes.
Yes. Word is light. Word sound is a vibration, just like it's part of the wavelengths of light. Mm-hmm. And so when we speak, we are bringing forth light, right? We are speaking a vibration that is part of the spectrum of light. And so when he said the Word was God, it's also a way of saying God is light, but it's also saying that Jesus, who is the Word, living Word, and he is the light of God coming to the natural world. And so people struggle with the Trinity a lot, you know, and it's because they're not grasping that light just is light, but there's different parts of the spectrum of light. And so at a higher spectrum, you have God unknowable. At a lower spectrum of light, you have God the Father. Still God, but he's becoming more and more manifest, more and more knowable. And then God, the Creator God, who became flesh, is still light, but it's Christ, but a different part of the spectrum of light. And the Holy Spirit, who's here, is another part of the spectrum of light. And so you can look at different spectrums of light. You see the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. All light, but all different spectrums of the light. You know? And so if God made the world of himself, he is in the creation himself. He created it of himself, so he's in the creation himself. And Jesus is the Creator. And so one of the principles about when we speak, there's the light of God exists. Light of God's light is with us and in us. And when we speak, we are bringing forth a vibration in the light. When we speak, God's creation is affected by what we say. And so when it says, you know, there was a man in verse 6 here on the page, there's a man sent from God whose name is John. This man came for a witness to bear witness of the light that through him all men might believe. He was not that light, but he was sent to bear witness of the light. That was the true light that gives light to every man that comes in the world. He's talking about Jesus. There's something about speaking things, realities of things that you believe, things that are of the light of God, that things that have become a light in my heart, things that I see as true in my heart. It's like, you know, you get it, you see on TV, someone has an idea, a light bulb goes off over their head, right? There's, right? There's like a, wow, I see the light, right? And when we speak it, we're giving witness to that truth that's in our heart, right? Like John gave witness to the reality of the light that is Jesus Christ, and other people believed because it was giving, it was confirming in the world that Jesus is who he says he is, that he's the Messiah. When we agree with God verbally, we are agreeing with the light and we are giving witness to what God says we believe is true, and we are speaking it forth in the light, in the world of the light, and it starts to become more and more of a manifested reality in our life. Our life that we live right now is the sum total of what we believe and what we said that we believe. Because we've given substance by what we say and by what we believe, because we act on what we believe, to the truth that we know. Our life, the way it is today, is accumulation of what we believe and what we set up on what we believe. No?
Listen.
But, you know, I've set before you life and death. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. You know, we choose life. We say a lot of the wrong things. And we bear the fruit of what we say. And if we believe it, if we really believe it and we say it, it really has an effect on our life.
Is this... In the beginning, you say in the beginning was the Word. Is this separate from Genesis?
He's talking about that.
Way past Genesis already?
No, this is John, the disciple of Jesus, mm-hmm. John, writing about what happened in Genesis.
Okay.
So it's John saying what happened at the very beginning. This is a different place in the Bible, but he's talking about Genesis.
Okay. But I'm kind of confused here.
Okay.
I hope you help me.
we're all confused.
Well, the thing is because we're talking about Genesis, that's when everything got created right there.
Right.
John, he sent a man named John here, and that was still in Genesis. Is John here before, like, Adam and Eve?
No.
I'm kind of lost here.
John is talking about what happened back in Genesis.
Okay.
So he
until verse 6, in which at verse 6 he jumps to much further in the future.
That's what I was saying.
Yeah. Yeah. Essentially, at that divide is different points of time. Yeah,
okay. Thank you.
That's what I was saying.
Yeah.
We're talking about different times.
Yeah.
And then the second John we're talking about is John the Baptist.
So yeah, that it is confusing.
they skipped a bunch there.
So if there's two lights, right? How do we tap into God's creative light? A lot of it is with our words. I'm not saying we're creators. God's the creator, but we by what we say. We come in agreement with, we come alongside of what God, you know, God's creation. We can tap into his uncreated light through what we say.
And it's out of the heart that the mouth speaks. And so it says God changes our hearts, reveals our hearts, gives truth to our hearts that your mouth is going to speak.
Right. And it's, you know, the Bible says, as I believe, so I spoke. We don't speak to believe. We believe because of what the Bible says, then we speak what we believe. And it has an effect.
Which is why if you're filled with the Word, then the Word can come out. And it's testifying or agreeing with God the Father.
Yeah.
The reason I was making that face before was because I've been thinking a lot about this. I didn't know you were talking about it tonight. But I was thinking about how many times I start a sentence with, I'm so tired of, and then I just feel tired. You know, I mean, I'm always tired, and I'm like, duh. And, you know, other things like, I don't know.
I'm so sick of.
I'm sick of, I can't see whatever. My eyes are like, you know. So, I mean, it's true. It's just true. I need to stop that.
When you were talking about the different spectrums, I mean, truly, when we talk about light and we talk about sound, that's all energy.
It is.
And,
or light.
And, right. Light is in, yes, okay. And it's all created. Because you take Einstein, E equals mc squared, and C squared is, you know, the speed of light. So I mean, it's intimately tied to one of the foundations that we have is this understanding this world and energy and physics and stuff. But anyway, the word being the sound vibrations, that's just another form of energy. So it is taking the energy that is light and converting it and having it manifested in a different form so that the words, as we speak them, you know, draws from this energy. And it is the energy. It's just converted to a different form.
And by the words that we speak, we draw the people to us, events to us. And if we believe...
Our energy is transferred to other people.
Right.
Because they receive that energy, and it stirs in them reactions and such.
When Jesus... You know, Jesus's disciple Peter. Peter's mother-in-law was sick, and he went in and he spoke to the fever. She had a fever. Now, he assumed the fever
Didn't
was.
Did he just touch her?
He.
I thought he touched her. I don't remember him saying something.
He did both. Her. Yeah, and well, it's talked about two or three times in the different gospels. So one gospel. He talked about Jesus touching her. In another gospel, it says that he spoke to the fever and commanded. So he did both. And so he touched her and said, fever, get out. So he spoke, he believed that if he told that fever to leave, it would leave. And the fever, which is a form of darkness, left when he spoke light to the fever. He told it to get out. And so that's just... It's the principle. If Jesus said, speak to the mountain. You have a mountain-sized problem, speak to the problem. Tell it to get out of the way. Jesus told the storm to stop. He said, storm, be still. And it was still. And so Jesus understood this. He understood. And science is stumbling on this more and more. Because when scientists do experiments at a subatomic particle level, they find what they're looking for. So if they're doing an experiment to find light as a wave, they find light as a wave. If they're doing an experiment to find light as a particle, they find light as a particle. And so what they've started to realize is their own mind is affecting the subatomic particle level of the very matter that they're working with.
It's like kinetic sand.
Like what?
Sorry, I was looking for kinetic sand.
What's that?
Well, it looks like sand from a beach, but it sticks together and you don't have to get it wet.
Okay.
It's real big for kids right now.
Really?
But
I've never...
It's really
okay.
Big. I like it. It's kind of addicting.
So it's like I'm flying back from... I don't think we're going to get past page one here, but I'm flying back from D.C. after a meeting that I had there. And there was somebody coming back from, I think it was Clinton's inaugural, address or whatever. Anyway, we were sitting next to each other, and she was a physicist. And so we're talking, and she was really, really smart. And I said, well, you've got a PhD, let me ask you a question. And she said, okay. I said, you know, everything's made of electrical energy, right? Atoms, neutrons, electrons. She said, yeah, that's true. Everything's made of electrical energy. And I said, well, what makes the same electrons become iron and the same electrons become wood or, you know, water? And she said, well, that's cohesion. I said, really? Cohesion? Wow. I said, what's cohesion? Well, cohesion is cohesion. You know, and it's like she couldn't give me an answer beyond just calling it cohesion. I said, well, I know what it is. I said, the Bible says that all things were created through Jesus Christ, and through him all things hold together. That's cohesion. And that was the end of our conversation. But so it says the word, Jesus, the word, his word, holds together everything. The reason why we can walk on electrical energy and we think it's hard is because of Jesus, the mind of God holding it in place. The reason why we atoms hold together as iron, you can make a car out of it or you can make a wooden table out of it that's completely different, it's cohesion. It's Christ, it's the love of Christ. It's the word of God holding everything together. And we influence the very creation by what we think and say. We affect it. Now, we aren't the creator, but we influence the creator, and they're finding out about it with subatomic particle science. They're finding out that we affect creation by what we say. And if we believe what we say, we affect it even more. I mean, it's one thing to say something negative and not believe it. It's another thing to say something positive, believe it, and say it. And I don't mean to be weird or anything, but we actually create the life that we're living based on the words, what we believe, and what we say. So you guys can read the rest if you want to, but I go into a lot more things on light. But if you're ever approached by, there's a really good section in the Bible on this light that we're talking about. It's Colossians chapter 1 and 2. And if someone ever knocks on your door to try to talk to you from some cult, just say, let's go to Colossians chapter 1. Because, you know, 1 verse 15, 16, 17, it says that Jesus, nothing was created without Jesus. And everything was made by him. And nothing was made without him that was made. And they were all made for him and by him and for his pleasure. And through him all things hold together. So Jesus, before he became the physical baby of Mary, he was the creator God. The creator God himself stepped into his own creation through Mary to fix it. And he has fixed it because the light had to come. And now the light has come. And the light, for everyone who follows him, he puts the light in them. And he lets them have access into uncreated light or creative light. And so, walk in the light as Jesus is in the light. And you know, it's not the occult to talk about the light. A lot of times Christians will think, oh, this is really weird, we're talking about the light. Well, the light was in the first page of Genesis. God had the light long before the devil tried to usurp it, right? The occult may be talking about the light, but they're not talking about the creative light, they're talking about the created light. You know, God invented crystals long before some witch stuck a crystal around her neck. You know, and so God is light, and we are the children of the light. I mean, we're supposed to read the Bible and meditate on the scriptures so that it gives light, God's creative light in our heart. As we meditate on his word, his light from his word comes into our heart, and then we speak those things, and they have an effect on our life and the life of others. We bless people. We speak life and light over people. And then we get to go into the light. The church has been so focused on getting the light to come to me. Lord, send your light. Come, sweet Jesus, don't pass me by. You know, come, light of God, come into our service at the church. Come visit us. Jesus said, we can come before the throne of grace. We can come into his light. Jesus said, come unto me, all you who are labored and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. My burden is light. Now, that's a different word for light, but it's still kind of cool, you know. And so we can, not only does he come to us, we can go to him by faith. Lord, I'm coming. I want more light. And so if we're wrestling with anything in our life, the answer is in the light that is God, Jesus Christ. So we close our eyes, we calm ourselves down, we quiet ourselves down, and we pray to the Lord, we worship him a little, and then we just say, Lord, I want to come. Help me come into the light. Come into your light. And start experiencing more and more the light of God in our quiet time. And that uncreated light, that unmanifested light, that creative light will actually come and actually start to change our hearts, even quicken our mortal bodies by the light. So
we are going to finish this, right?
Yeah, we'll finish it next time.
Does anybody else want to finish this? Mm-hmm. This week?
Yeah.
I do.
It's a deep subject because it's all over. Look up light and concordance. It's talked about a lot. And John, I mean, the Apostle John talks about it a lot. Talks about the light of God.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
One of the things that...
Thanks, Gordon.
Why our words are so important is because it is the vibration, and it is God speaking. But we're made in his image, so he speaks, and we speak. And that's important, what we're saying.
What we're saying is related to the light. Mm-hmm. And it changes how it works in our life. And it's just interesting that God needed John the Baptist to be a witness for people to believe. Because someone had to speak about the light for it to really have an impact mm-hmm. on people. Had to bring the light down to a different vibration, a different nature for people to get it. You know?
How will they know without a teacher? Yeah. Learn without a teacher. So, yeah, I mean, yeah.
We experience it like we're reading the Bible, and all of a sudden you just, oh, never saw that before. You know, that's light. That's creative light, and it's inspiring us. Inspire, you know, the light's getting in us. It's inspiring us, you know, and the light sets us free. But it also stirs up the darkness in our hearts. So sometimes there's a little stirring going on as we get closer to the light, but it's pretty cool. I've been looking into the light for a while now in the Bible, and there's a lot of different manifestations. I mean, Moses came down from the mount, and the other Moses, right? Your namesake.
It's my great-great-great.
That's right.
There you go.
And his face was so bright, people couldn't look at him, so to talk to him, he would cover it with a veil, you know? And but in the New Covenant, Jesus' face is even brighter than that. Because Jesus settled all the sin issues and everything, and God's not mad at us anymore, he doesn't need a veil. We just look at him and run up and hug him. Because we're complete. Every human being on earth has been totally forgiven. Everyone. Because what Jesus did, we just have to accept it, receive it. All it takes is thank you. But a lot of people don't want to. I want to be God of my life no matter how messed up I am. You know what I mean? All it takes is surrendering to his lordship to receive. He already paid the penalty. We just have to receive it.